The temptation to use air power to force changes on the ground in a civil war is a powerful temptation, but with a dubious record of success. And in the case of U.S. air power in Afghanistan, it can complicate the situation. Russia is now demonstrating its power in Syria with airstrikes said to be in support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, operating independently of U.S. forces and with a very different mission. Dmitry Trenin is a veteran of the Soviet and Russian armed forces and a director of the Carnegie Moscow Center. He says that Russian air power may be a belated acknowledgement that Syria can never be reconstituted to be what it was before the civil war.
I think we all realize, including the people in Moscow, that Syria as we've known it, Syria of the Assads, is a thing of the past. A new Syria, whenever it becomes a reality, will be a very different Syria. It will not be ruled from one center. It will not have one ruler. And the issue is how to advance toward that new outcome and how to, and this is a question to the international, various parts of the international community, how to best safeguard one's national interests in this transition to a new end state in Syria.
With ISIS using its bombs and missiles to create more rubble out of historical treasures that go back centuries, if not millennia, how are Russian airstrikes going to do anything more than add rubble to this civil war rather than changing the political situation on the ground?
Well, in my view, air war cannot by itself bring victory. You need a push on the ground, and you need a parallel diplomatic political strategy to achieve your objectives. I think the outcome of the Russian operation and the ultimate success or failure of that operation will depend critically on the harmony between the military strategy and the diplomatic and political strategies.
But given how long this war has gone on, what is the diplomatic strategy? I mean, who's talking to whom at this point? Bashar al-Assad, it seems to me, is utterly discredited with all the other forces, and ISIS isn't in a negotiating mood, are they? Or at least, do you know something that we don't?
I don't think anyone in Moscow thinks about negotiating with ISIS. I don't think anyone anywhere in the world, at least publicly, talks about negotiating with ISIS. However, we can negotiate, or rather Assad can negotiate with the opposition, and he should negotiate with the opposition. And now that he is in a stronger position due to Russia's military support, now is the time, in my view, for Assad to open a political strategy, broadening the political space in Syria and essentially transiting to a different kind of regime in the country. And in parallel to that, I think Russia needs to exercise a diplomatic strategy in the region, in Europe, and with the United States on establishing the proper international setting for Syrian political transition.
Well, finally, Dmitry, I mean, Vladimir Putin says he supports Assad in the fight against ISIS and that the resurrection of Assad is the only way to a stable Syria. You're suggesting that, in fact, the policy is a partition of Syria. That would represent a change.
I'm not necessarily talking of a partition of Syria. A partition may be a pretty bad solution for Syria or Iraq or other countries in the region. I think that a more decentralized Syria is certainly a much better option, a Syria in which the various groups that make up the Syrian nation or the Syrian people enjoy rights in the localities where they live, and they have a stake in the government of the country. And that the same thing applies to Iraq, and partially this is already a reality in Iraq if you look at the Kurdish areas.
Dmitry Trenin is director of the Carnegie Moscow Center. He served in the Soviet and Russian armed forces from 1972 to 1993. Thank you so much, Dmitry.
You're welcome, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.